Here we go. Is that good?
I don't know how to do this.
That's okay. I don't want us to get so caught up in that we forget why we're here. You know what I mean? It's okay.
I don't know where it's at.
It's okay.
Facebook or anything like that, I have no idea. I just use the start button and the finish button.
That's okay. Are we waiting for anyone else?
No,
we're good? I didn't know if everybody was out of the bathroom.
Yeah,
I hear you. All right, friends. Well, I'm Amanda Aliff. I have met a couple of you just in passing at probably our district conference or some other things throughout the Shenandoah District. When Matthew asked if there was anyone that could cover, I was happy to come. And it's so cool that I literally maybe have met some of you for a few minutes and walk in the door and feel like I've been here, you know, for a long time. And so people who worship Jesus together can do that, right? We're all part of one family. So, I wanted to tell you just a little bit about myself. So I am married to Charles Aliff. We live in Proctorville, Ohio, but recently moved out to Wayne, West Virginia, just to be with his family. His dad has a new onset Alzheimer's and dementia, things like that, so we're helping to care for him. Long time ago, I was saved as a little kid in Vacation Bible School. I don't remember how old I was. I was young, elementary. And then through life happened, and I would go. My parents never went to church, so I would go to church, not go, go, not go, that type of thing through school. And then after I got graduated, I needed some attention, or I thought I did. And so I looked for that in all the wrong ways. And fast forward, you know, make a long story short, as they say. I found myself one Saturday night, Sunday morning at a bar in Huntington. It's still operating, actually. And I was very sick, probably alcohol poisoning, now looking back. And there was a guy who was doing a drive-by shooting. It was intentional, but he was, you know, ski mask in a car, gun out the window, that type of thing. And the bullet, like, I felt the bullet whiz past my head. And I told you I was saved at Vacation Bible School, and I love that you guys have kids here, and they're drawing and playing and talking and just doing, you know, a church needs kids. And so at that Bible school, we sang the same song every year. And so because of that, you know, as you're a child, those are your formative foundational years. And we, all of us as human beings, we hang on to those memories. We hang on to those things that we learn as a child, right? And so I believe I was 28 when this happened. So anyway, I'm sick, doing what sick people do on the sidewalk outside of a bar. Bullet flies by, and mass chaos erupts, right? Well, what happens to me is I start hearing that song replaying in my head that we had sang every year in Bible school. And that was a transformative moment in my life. I went to church. That was probably at 2 or 3 a.m. I went to church a couple hours later at 9:30 for at the church that I had, grown up in. I remember being very hungover, sunglasses on my eyes, the whole nine, set in the back. Fast forward, a year later, I was in Uganda on a mission trip, and God has been restoring me ever since. And so I stand before you. I like to tell at least a little part of my testimony. Now, there's more, right? But, you know, if we can talk individually later, but he keeps showing up, and he keeps rescuing me, and he keeps pursuing me. And I want you to know, church, that he'll do that for you too. It doesn't have to be my testimony. It doesn't have to be my same set of circumstances. It can be whatever you've got going on in your life, you know. But what was planted in me as a young child, just like these girls up here, you know, I held on to that, and that's what God used to kind of snatch me back from a pit. And so I want us to remember that he's not done doing that. And he there's more of that to be done. And for those of us who are believers, it doesn't mean that we no longer need to be snatched, right? Like, it's not as if, like, okay, Jesus, I believe in you. I'm following you. Yes, maybe even I'm serving you. Maybe even I'm leading something in the church. Maybe it's that type of thing. But that doesn't mean that we don't get tired or we don't get overwhelmed. It doesn't mean that we can't lose sight of why we're doing what we're doing. I mean, why do we get up at a certain time on Sunday morning and come here? You know, and sometimes we need to be able to ask ourselves that, right? Like, why do we do what we do? Why do we worry about, can people hear us? Why do we worry about if it's getting put out on social media? Why do we worry about, do we have a comfortable place to come? Why do we do what we do? And sometimes it's a good thing to visit that. So I wanted to talk about our scripture for today is coming from Matthew 6. I'm going to be reading from the ESV version. Whatever version you got is fine. But if you'd like to follow along, I'm going to be in Matthew 6, and I'm going to start at verse 25. Matthew 6, verse 25. So what's happening? So this is the part of Scripture that is labeled the Sermon on the Mount, right? And have any of you all, are you familiar with the Chosen series at all? Okay, well, in The Chosen, when they're, showing this part of Scripture, Mary, the mother of Jesus, is helping him fix his clothes. And, you know, the disciples each have assignment, and so they're off gathering things and setting things up. The point is this is a very intentional message that Jesus is delivering. He's got certain things in mind of how he wants things to be, and so he wants to look his best. Now, we don't know that this specific thing happened that I want to talk about. This might have been part of, like, artistic freedom from The Chosen. But Mary is helping Jesus choose the little sash thing that goes across his robe. And he's got this tan-looking cloak on, and Mary's helping him find a sash. And he tries on a red one, and they're like, okay, how's this look, you know? And Mary's like, nah. And she's just momming Jesus. Now, this is in the show, right? In Scripture, we know that they prepped for this message. We don't know that this specific thing happened, but I think it helps us to get the point, you know? And so finally, they decide that Jesus will wear this blue sash. And Mary's like, oh, it's perfect. It, like, she comments him in some way, like, it sets off your eyes or something like that. Like, it's a very motherly thing, you know. And so they put all this intention into getting Jesus and the area prepped because this message is a big deal. So, you know, mom gets them all dressed in The Chosen. We don't know that, but in The Chosen, they say, Mom gets him all dressed, and he's ready to deliver this message. And he just starts talking to the people about various things. If you go back through, you can find that, like, he covers divorce, and he covers taking oaths, and lust, and anger, and retaliation, and how to love your enemies, and just so many things. The golden rule, I never knew you, you know, like, what did it take to get Jesus to say that? I never knew you. So there's all these things that he's giving us instructions for. But if we move down to verse 25, Matthew 6, verse 25, anybody ever been anxious? Right? Anybody ever been anxious? Anybody ever been depressed? Overwhelmed? Yes, girl. Any of those things? Let's read a little bit about that. Matthew 6:25 says, "Therefore I tell you, do not be anxious about your life, what you'll eat, what you'll drink, nor about your body, what you will put on. Is not life more than food, and the body more than clothing? Look at the birds of the air. They neither sow nor reap nor gather into barns, and yet your heavenly Father feeds them. Are you not more value than they? And which of you, by being anxious, can add a single hour to his span of life? And why are you anxious about clothing? Consider the lilies of the field, how they grow. They neither toil nor spin. Yet I tell you, even Solomon in all his glory was not arrayed like one of these. But if God so clothes the grass of the field, which today is alive and tomorrow is thrown into the oven, will he not much more clothe you, O you of little faith? Therefore, do not be anxious, saying, 'What shall we eat, or what shall we drink, or what shall we wear?' For the Gentiles seek after all these things, and your heavenly Father knows that you need them all." Verse 33, "But seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Therefore, do not be anxious about tomorrow, for tomorrow will be anxious for itself. Sufficient for the day is its own trouble." God, thank you so much for your word. Thank you that it is our source of truth. It's our compass. It's our anchor point. Father, when our thoughts are flying all over the place, we can use your word. We should use your word to orient us back to ground zero, so to speak. We love you. Thank you for making this holy set apart moment possible this morning. Open our ears, quiet our minds. Let us hear from you, Father. In your name. Amen. So it looked like when I was talking about being anxious that I had some people who could relate, you know? And so, you know, anxiety is a crazy thing because, especially for those of us who are providers or who are caretakers, there are certain things that we have to do. We need to have groceries to feed our family. You know, if we have kids, we can have a house full of groceries and they still can't get themselves something to eat. You know, we have to do laundry. We have to work, right? We have to pay bills. We have to. And there's all these we have to's. And then every now and then, you finally get your practice going, and you feel like you're in a pretty good routine, you know? And it just seems like you're on autopilot. And have you ever been in a place to where maybe it might feel like you're just in survivalism? Right? I'm just going through the motions. I'm just trying to get it done. I'm just trying to make sure that all the boxes are checked off. I forgot you guys are filming me, and I better be good and be back here. But, you know, we get into this thing, and it's not as if, I don't know if you all ever been here before, but sometimes when I'm in autopilot, Jesus takes a back seat. And it's not that I want him to take a back seat. Never ever have I been like, "Oh God, I'm going to put you back." but the family's in front of me screaming, and the tasks are in front of me piling up, and the things, and so God willingly will take a back seat if we need him to. So for me, I've learned that it can be so easy to be like, well, let me just handle this stuff, and then, you know, I'll get to my Bible later. I'll get to that prayer service later, whatever it might be. And then what do? If you're anything like me, that makes you feel guilty. Like, oh my gosh, I'll be in a mess. Just like, have you ever seen a hamster running in a hamster wheel? That hamster will get in that wheel and just run and run and run and run and run and not go nowhere. Right? And I feel that so often. My body will be exhausted. and it's like, what happened to me? Well, sister, you've been running at full pace. And you've not made any progress. Why? Well, it's probably been about 2 months since you opened your Bible or spoke to Jesus. And then when that reality hits me, it's like, oh, how did that happen? How did that happen? I didn't mean to. Of course you didn't mean to, but life happened. And before we know it, it's just even coming to church on Sunday mornings can be something we're checking off our list. Like, thank gosh, it starts at 10:30 or whenever the pastor gets here that's stuck on I-64, you know. And then hopefully it'll cut off by a certain time because, what, we got things to do today, right? There's even a task list for the time that we have together. We need a stopping point and an ending point because we got to carry on with life. And I'm not here, I hope that you see that I'm just like you guys. You know, I'm not here to say, shame on you if you can relate to not talking to Jesus for 2 or 3 months or not picking up your Bible. Have you ever lost your Bible? Like, it's in the car somewhere, probably under 2 weeks worth of clothes and fast food bags from, you know, ball practices and all that. You know, we get busy. Have you ever been so focused on how you're going to make these two ends meet? You got all these people to care for, all these people looking at you. How are you going to do it? Babysitting is expensive. Daycare is astronomical. So if you have little ones, it can really be a hard thing. You know, you go, my family, a couple of them have went and applied for help to pay for babysitting. And it's like, okay, you make $25 too much or something, so we can't help you, you know. And it becomes this real thing, you know. You want to, willing to work, but who's going to watch the kids so I can work? And then if I do work, daycare is like $600 or $700 a month. So it's this. Life can sometimes be heavy. It can sometimes be too much. And so this is the kind of things that God is talking about in this sermon. He's talking about how we cannot be anxious. Don't you all love sometimes when maybe you are anxious and maybe it's like however that looks for you? I can relate to that dog. Have you ever seen a dog after it's used the bathroom in the front yard and he's just turning circles in the front yard on his butt? And he's just trying to get his butt cleaned off. Turning circles, right? So it's just like, I don't even know what's happening. I feel like I'm juggling plates. But God starts talking to us and he says, you know, not to be anxious. And isn't it cool how I love the intent that people have, but when they see you upset, they say, oh, don't be upset. It's okay. As if that's going to magically make it go away. Or, why are you crying? Don't cry. And you're like, gee, I just woke up today and thought, I'm going to ruin my day and do nothing but cry all day. You know, or they'll be nice and like give you a hug or a smile or something like that. And then look at you weird when that didn't magically fix it. I worked in a hospital for 15 years prior to this. And we have a thing that we call triage in the ER. So when patients come in the ER, we kind of have to triage their needs to see, you know, who we see first. And I'm telling you today that I kind of like to use that process as checking things off the list, right? If you find yourself like that dog with a dirty butt in the front yard, or the hamster on the hamster wheel just running, not getting nowhere, we kind of, it helps me to make a checklist. Like, okay, reevaluate. What do I need to check off first? When I was going through recovery, they teach this principle, and I had a sponsor, and she, at the time, I was overwhelmed because my house had gotten out of control, meaning I had let my housework go. And so it was a mess, and I couldn't function because there was so much clutter. And she was, my sponsor was walking with me, and she was trying to help me get things cleaned up. And she said, let's start with these dishes. Well, sisters, I was ready to throw all the dishes away. Like, it was just too much. And she said, okay, we set up an accountability day. And she said, it was like, you know, Monday or something. And she said, I'll check with you again on Friday. Just make sure you're doing okay. There were still dirty dishes on Friday. And instead of getting mad, we prayed, we truly sought the Lord, and she said, you know what? Wash one plate. Just wash one thing. And that became my mantra. Like, I can't do all these dishes. Women would, you know, others in my family would be like, I don't know what's wrong with you. How come you can't keep your dishes done? You know, like that kind of stuff. But it was overwhelming for me. And my Ashley said, just wash one plate. And so every time I become overwhelmed, that's what I think of. Just wash one plate. And then if you feel like it, wash another one. And then guess what? Those dishes got done. And it's just a symbolic thing for me when a period of overwhelmed worry hits. Just wash one plate and reevaluate. So, I don't know what your life looks like, especially those of you who seem to relate with anxiety and overwhelmed and depression and things like that. I don't know what it looks like. But you know. You know. And I want to tell you that this passage of scripture wasn't just written for the people that he was speaking to when he did the Sermon on the Mount. It wasn't just written for all those Christians that seem to have it all together. Y'all know the ones I'm talking about. It wasn't that. It was written for all of us across all the ages. And he doesn't just make it frou-frou, right? He doesn't just say, oh, look at the birds. Oh, you hate that when you're like in a tizzy and they're like, don't forget the birds. Or he doesn't just make it like that. He doesn't just say, think of the birds or think of the flowers. He doesn't say that. He tells us, and I missed this for years in this scripture. He tells us exactly what to do when the world seems to have you by the throat, you know? Or you get up and it just punches you right in the gut. Whatever that is, God tells us exactly how to get to the place to where we can move forward. And if we look, that comes in verse 33. Where he says, but seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be added to you. Now, when the crap's about to hit the fan, so to speak, it can be hard to remember to pick up your Bible. You know, oh, you're probably saying like, well, Pastor Amanda, I'd love to do that if I could, but sister, I'm trying to survive. I really don't have time to go to Bible study. I don't have time to pick up my Bible and read because I got 25 children and disconnect notices and all this stuff. It's not that I don't want to. I can't. I got life. I have to manage life. And I'm here to tell you that I'm not making light of that. If that's you, I get it. I really do get it. But the only way that we can apply what Satan is going to try to make us think won't work, the only way we can get that done is if we seek first the kingdom. So it might look like, you know, if you're overwhelmed by dishes, like I talked about, you know, if that's your thing, God, I don't want to do these dishes. I can't do these dishes. I'd rather throw them all away. I could care less about them. I want to go to sleep. Make that how your prayer life looks and see what that does for you. God, I can't take care of these kids. They're running me wild. I don't know how I'm going to pay this electric bill. I don't know. I don't know how I'm going to get my blood pressure down. I don't know how I'm going to pay for my medicine. I don't know how I'm going to make any of this. I don't know how. But Lord, can you show me? Because I want to be able to read my Bible. I want to be able to seek you first. But I don't know how to do that. That can be how your prayer life looks. I tell people all the time, it's okay if you cuss in your prayers. Now listen, don't throw me out of the church. It's okay if that's where you start. If you've been away from Him and it's been a long time since you had any conversation with Jesus, if you're in a place to where that's all you can get out, please talk to Him. Don't let that be something that keeps you from speaking to our Father. Please talk to Him. It's not okay to stay that way. Let Him change your heart. But if all you can get out is language that doesn't, you know, quite make the mark, it's okay to even start there. Tell Him you're suffering. Tell Him. You know, sometimes it's hard to compare our life to lilies and sparrows and all those kinds of things, but tell Him, hey, how come this person over here is doing X, Y, Z and they seem to be floating through life? Say that. How come, Jesus, I've been working my booty off and can't make ends meet, but this one over here is getting every handout that they can get? How come? I got family members. I support a food pantry and a school supply pantry, and then my family goes and picks up the free stuff. It aggravates the tar out of me. Tell Him. He's not a God that's aloof and lurking above the clouds. He's our Emmanuel, the God with us. That means He's down in the trenches with us. He is our Lord of Lords. But if you need to start out just having a conversation, do that. Whatever it needs to look like. Now, I know that you guys here at 3 Mile, you've been a family for a bit. So for you all, it might look like being that family and calling on each other. Like, hey, I'm sinking. I can't make it work. I need you. That's what shepherds are for. You know, sheep protect each other, don't they? They kind of travel, they keep together in herds. They walk together. Coming and sitting and singing and listening on Sundays is great. We should do it, absolutely. But what's the point of being together? It's not just for a Sunday show. Right? We need to be able to know our body, because we've got an assignment. Matthew 28, right? The Great Commission. We all have work to do. I read your guys' I was looking at your website. I love the heart of 3 Mile. You all want to reach people. You want to bring them in. You want for them to have an encounter with Jesus. So that what He can change their life like He's changed yours. But if we are miserable and we are struggling, what kind of light are we going to be putting out? We have to be willing to be real with each other, right? And to say, and not to make that make you the, you wouldn't believe what's happening with Sister Sue. No. But hey, how can I help you? I'm coming over to do your dishes. Don't ask, can I? If you're doing life together, show up. If you say, do you need anything, what are you going to say? I'm fine. That's your free pass because you don't want people in your face. Right? I'm fine. I'd rather struggle alone than have help at certain points. Show up. They're going to get mad. If they get mad at you, oh well. Show up. Be the one that's there. Not just for show, but helping them up out of the struggle. Seek ye first the kingdom of heaven. Talk to Jesus. Now, you might be like, listen, did I get up out of bed for that? Did I come and do all this for that? You know, these kids being silly, running around, dancing, I absolutely love it. Because these kids are the ones that are going to be standing here someday. These kids are the ones that are going to be carrying the kingdom on into future generations. And so seek first needs to be a message that we show them. Hey, I'm whatever, fill in the blank. I am in a mess. Seek the kingdom of heaven. I'm not saying sit down, get your Bible out, memorize, do whatever that looks like for you. But it can also be like, Lord, help me. I need you. I can't breathe. I'm struggling. Help me. It can look like a call to your pastor. Help me. I need you. I don't know what I need. What's wrong? I don't know. Help me. I want to seek him first. I want to put him first, but I can't. Help me. But what I can promise you is this. I don't know what your struggle looks like. I don't know any of that. But what I do know is that the end of that verse, when Christ says, don't worry about all these things. Don't worry about what clothes you're going to wear. If you wear the same shirt for 5 years, 10 years, 20 years, that's fine. Don't worry about the clothes. Don't worry about the food. Don't worry about any of that. If you seek me first, all these things, what? Will be added. Not I'll think about it. Not if you memorize enough scripture. Not if you read enough. Not if you have, if you're the one that has the coolest Bible journal. None of those things. Seek first. Seek me first. And all these things will be added. Listen, people are going to let you down all day, every day. But this is our source of truth. There's not a lie in here. This is Jesus speaking. Jesus said, all these things will be added to you. Seek me first. My righteousness, all these things will be added to you. Listen, we're as filthy can be, right? Apart from Jesus. Every single one of us need him, just the same. We are all dirty, filthy, rotten sinners. But through him, the one struggling the most can shine just as bright. You can't do it without him. That's my message to you all today. You can't do it without him. You can't be good enough to handle your struggle alone. You can't read enough self-help books. You can't do enough. It's impossible. You all have a heart for Jesus. I can tell that. You want to carry his name to the next generations. You care about the business of the kingdom. I don't know you all, but I can feel that here in this church. And so what does that make you? Targets for the enemy. As a church and in your personal lives. It's like, ooh, they're trying to They're trying to build the kingdom. They're trying to expand the kingdom. They're trying to do some things. Let me snuff them out. You will not succeed without the Holy Spirit. And so, as we close, and Pastor Corey, he always says, "As let me land the plane." The plane is just this. It's simple. Seek first the kingdom of God. That's something that those of you who have been in church for a while have been going over since nursery school age. But it needs to become more than just a cool memory verse, right? Seek first the kingdom of God. When you're overwhelmed, when you can't breathe, cry out to Him. Seek it first. All the things that you're wrapped up in worry about, Christ promises they will be added to you. They will be added to you. Now listen, we are going to close. But don't let this be, even though there's things, even though we're worried about, are we doing this right? Are the kids going to go play in traffic? Whatever it might be, we got things going on, right? But take a minute and set it aside and actually talk with Jesus. Seek Him first. Do business with Him. If you need someone to pray with you, come up here. Somebody will pray with you. If you need to meet with someone after this, I got all day. Don't leave this place without having an encounter with the God who gave it all to save you. Let's pray. Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for this body. Thank you for each lady and each family that is represented here today. Jesus, will you help the words in your scripture sink down into our bones today? Will you help us to seek you first when we become, not only when we become overwhelmed, but in every moment. However, especially when Satan's got us by the throat. Father, when we can't breathe, help us to remember that you are there. Father, that if we seek you first, all the things that we're wasting blood pressure points over, all the things that we're worrying about, Father, you have promised that they will be given to us. Church, I know that sometimes it's hard to stay quiet, but just if we can continue on, I promise I'll keep track of the time. It'll just be a couple minutes. But really, shut off all these distractions. Spend a minute with your Father. And ask Him. Jesus, help me to seek you first. What does that need to look like in my life? What do I need to reorder? What do I need to let go of to put you first? If you're struggling, I dare you to reach out to someone so that we can help you. Father, again, thank you for this body. Thank you for the sweet, sweet spirit that is present in this place. Church, if I'm going to sing just a familiar chorus. If you know it, sing it with me. If you want to continue in an attitude of prayer, do that.
God is so good. God is so good. God, you're so good. You're so good to me.
Three Mount, go forth knowing that you are loved. You have a good, good God that will come rescue you. Amen. You are dismissed, church.